follows on from this morning. We were looking this morning at our response to those factors, those experiences which we really don't have much control over. Sometimes you can describe them as the worldly winds, praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, fame and infamy. But what we can change, and this is pulling it, unweaving the second noble truth, what we can change is our response to those events, to those experiences. What we can change is our mind. We can change, we can have an impact on the automatic knee-jerk response in the case of pleasurable experiences, the grasping, in the case of painful experiences, the pushing away. So the craving and the aversion. So the second noble truth tells us these are the cause of suffering. These are the root causes of suffering, craving and aversion. And I was describing them as resistance. So in this morning session, I was suggesting acceptance of our experience and those elements of our experience that are painful as much as those that are pleasurable, accepting them with an open heart. And this is a crucial attitude in Buddhism, and it's we can look at it from various perspectives. So acceptance is one. So acceptance with an open heart is one approach. Another one is to describe aversion and craving as reactivity. So it's just going down a slightly different path with the same theme. So it's us it's an automatic reactive response to the experience of pleasure and pain, and it's kind of not conscious, it's not chosen. And what Buddhism is encouraging us to do is helping us to develop is a capacity for choice, the capacity to be free to respond to whatever happens to us on the basis of our values, to become the people we want to become, to develop the habits that are conducive to us fulfilling our full potential as human beings, and rather than those habits that limit us. So approaching aversion and craving from this alternative perspective of non-reactivity. Another word that Buddhism has for this is equanimity. And this is seen as a very potentially profound aspect, our capacity maybe, that we can develop. So much so that it is seen as a quality. At its highest, it is seen as, or maybe you could say at its depths, you can see it as a quality of the enlightened mind, equanimity. Equanimity is a kind of impartiality, but impartiality doesn't quite capture the meaning of equanimity. It's being able to face the pleasurable, the painful, without that sense of compulsion but behind our response. So there is a certain kind of neutrality there, but it's not a cold indifference, disconnection. It's a heartfelt ability to face what happens with a steadiness of spirit. I think I came across a writer called Kara Jewel Lingo who describes equanimity as one of the faces of love. And I think this really captures the heartfelt dimension of equanimity. So it's not disconnected. you could say, just it strikes me that the other faces of love, to follow on from that poetic phrase, that equanimity is one of the faces of love. The other faces of love are compassion. So when love, or metta, meets suffering in ourselves or in someone else, it is touched by that suffering, it becomes compassion. When metta, or love, meets someone else's good fortune, it is touched by that good fortune and it becomes sympathetic joy. We touched on that this morning. Then when love, when metta comes into contact with reality, with conditionality, which has been the theme of this retreat, when it encounters the truths of impermanence, dependent origination, that is equanimity. It becomes equanimity. Metta becomes, love becomes equanimity. There are some images, I think, that are helpful to describe equanimity. Quoting from, I think it might be the Dhammapada, the Buddha says, praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and sorrow, they come and go like the wind. To be happy, stand like a great tree in the midst of them all. So this image of a great tree for me speaks beautifully of equanimity. Another image is like a perfectly round sphere on a perfectly flat plane, where there's no compulsion in our response. There's non-attachment, there's no aversion, but there's no compulsion. We are free to choose the direction we travel. A final image for me, another beautiful image, is really the rupa of the Buddha and the smile on the Buddha's face, those half-closed eyes. It's not that the Buddha is not aware of all the suffering in the world. That smile does not speak of indifference. That smile, that half-smile, speaks of equanimity. The imperturbability or unshakability of the Buddha in the face of, well, for example, Mara's attacks. Just before his enlightenment, the Buddha faces the attacks, whichever way you want to read the story, the arrows, the spears. The Buddha faces the attacks of Mara with imperturbability. His mind was unmoved. So these are images that perhaps give some of the flavor of equanimity. And what I'd like to do this afternoon with you is do a practice, which is the fourth of the Brahmaviharas. I mentioned the third, which was this morning, which was the cultivation of sympathetic joy in the face of others' gifts, others' achievements. So this Brahmavihara is a cultivation of equanimity. So I invite you to adopt your meditation, stable meditation posture. And this practice will, I would say, take about 40 minutes or so, but we'll do a bit of lead in just to relax. You've maybe been engaged in a bit of conversation, hopefully useful conversation, a bit of sharing. It might be useful just to settle our minds, quieten, drop into our bodies. So I invite you to do just that, settle down into your posture, take some time over finding that stable, upright, comfortable posture that is sustainable for you. noticing your breath, the sensations of breathing, noticing the pace of your breath, the texture of your breath. Noticing where you feel the movement most, the movement associated with the in-breath and out-breath. Maybe you feel the movement most around your belly. Maybe you feel it most around your chest. Those front ribs expanding, contracting. Maybe the breath is most evident for you around the nostrils. Can you settle into an awareness of the movement in all of those three locations, your belly, your chest, your nostrils, simultaneously? Like the front of your body is breathing. And what about the back of your body? Is there a sense, or can you sense, the movements that are associated with the breathing, particularly, say, in the back ribs, below the shoulder blades? Maybe a more subtle movement. As we begin a practice of the Upeksha Bhavana, the cultivation of equanimity. And then the first of five stages, like with the metta bhavana, we begin by being present to ourselves, wishing ourselves well, cultivating metta for ourselves. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. You might consider some of your achievements in this past year. Some of your gains. Some of your gifts, both given and received. You've experienced much joy, I hope, this past year. Whatever joy you have experienced, bring it to mind. Particular instances. Maybe you've experienced some good fortune this year. Rejoice in those experiences. You have also experienced difficulties this past year. Loss, sorrow, pain, perhaps. Let your metta, your loving kindness, meet your own suffering as compassion, karuna. Consider that both your joys this past year and your suffering have arisen on the basis of conditions. And your joys and your sufferings have ceased on the basis of conditions. So pervade your memories with this knowledge of how things are. Everything is impermanent, all our experiences, they cannot provide lasting, ultimate happiness. To some extent, they are out of our control. They flow, they change constantly, whether or not we want them to. Now this, now that, dependent on conditions. Sorrow is followed by joy. Joy is followed by sorrow. This is how it is, how it has always been, without exceptions. For everyone, everywhere, throughout time. So allow this understanding to suffuse your loving kindness, your compassion, your sympathetic joy. In the second stage, we bring to mind a friend and we make them as vividly present as we can, perhaps recalling their face, their voice. And we wish this good friend well. May they be well, may they be happy, may they be free from suffering. If we're more visually inclined, we might like to imagine bright light, warm light extending from our hearts to our friend's heart. So consider that your friend experiences joy, has experienced joy this past year, good fortune. Maybe you can bring to mind those enjoyments and good fortune. Or at least you can imagine them. So allow your metta for your friend to meet their joys, their good fortune, as sympathetic joy, mudita. And consider that your friend also has experienced pain, sorrow, perhaps loss this past year. Maybe you're aware of particular instances, or maybe you can just imagine those experiences of pain. I invite you to let your metta, your loving kindness, meet their suffering as compassion, karuna. Consider that your friend's suffering, your friend's joy, they arise on the basis of conditions and cease on the basis of other conditions. This is how things are. Impermanent, incapable of offering permanent, ultimate satisfaction. To a large extent, out of our control. Part of the constant flow that is the world. Now this, now that, all dependent on conditions. Sorrow is followed by joy. Joy is followed by sorrow. This is how it is and how it has always been for everyone, everywhere, throughout time. Let your understanding of the way things really are, this flow, this impermanence, suffuse your loving kindness, your metta, your karuna, and your mudita. In the third stage, I invite you to bring to mind somebody you don't know so well, somebody for whom you don't have strong feelings one way or another. Maybe you have just seen them on the street or had a brief meeting with, encounter. But you can bring them to mind, you can visualize them some way. Maybe you've heard their voice. So try and bring them as present as you can. And wish them well. Just as you wish for happiness, they do too. You share so much more than is different between you. You can wish them well, just as you wish yourself well. May they be well and happy and free from suffering. Now consider that this neutral person experiences joys, good fortune. You may not know the detail, but you can at least imagine them experiencing joys, successes, gains. And let your loving kindness for them, your metta, meet their joys as sympathetic joy, mudita. You can rejoice in their good fortune. You can imagine them receiving gifts, receiving love, at the very least they have the gift of love, What a good fortune. But consider also that this neutral person experiences pain, loss, sorrow. Again, perhaps you can imagine their painful experiences. Fears, losses. Ill health. I invite you to let your loving kindness meet their suffering as compassion, Karuna. So consider that this neutral person's suffering and their joys arise on the basis of conditions and cease on the basis of other conditions. Pervade your recollections with the knowledge of how things are impermanent, unreliable, ultimately unsatisfactory, out of our control. All things in constant flow. Sorrow is followed by joy, joy is followed by sorrow. Now this, now that, dependent on conditions. This is how it is and has always been for everyone, everywhere, throughout time. Allow this understanding to suffuse your loving kindness, your metta, your karuna, and your mudita. I invite you to bring to mind somebody you find challenging. Not too challenging, you don't want to be overwhelmed by bringing them to mind. And you may not like this person, but you can wish them well. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be free from suffering. Consider that there is more to this person than the difficulty they present with you. May they be well, may they be happy, may they be free from suffering. Consider that this difficult person experiences joy and good fortune and has done this past year. Can you allow your metta to meet their joys as mudita, as sympathetic joy? Can you find it in yourself to experience sympathetic joy for the good fortune of this difficult person? Consider that this difficult person experiences pain, loss, and sorrow. Let your loving kindness, your metta, meet their suffering as compassion, karuna. Consider that their suffering and their joy arise on the basis of conditions and cease on the basis of conditions. This is how things are: impermanent, unreliable, not capable of satisfying permanently, largely out of our control, in constant flow. Sorrow is followed by joy, which is followed by sorrow. Now this, now that, all dependent on conditions. This is how it has always been for everyone, everywhere, throughout time. Allow this insight to suffuse your metta, your karuna, your mudita. Thank you. In the fifth stage, we bring to mind the four people we've considered, ourselves, our friend, the neutral person, the difficult person. Direct your metta equally towards each, or explore that possibility, an unbiased metta, not conditioned by what you get from this or that person. Experience how, or at least consider how, each of the four people experience ups and downs, joys and sorrows. Can you contemplate their experiences, their flow of experiences, with deep equanimity? Then broadening your awareness, your attention to everybody in this space, this virtual meditative space. Wish everyone well. May each one of us be well and happy, happy in our heart of hearts. And each one of us here, we experience ups and downs, joys and sorrows. Can we feel equanimity in the face of our joys and pains? Expanding our awareness to include anybody else in the building we're in, directing our well wishing towards them. May they be well and happy, free from suffering. And allow that well wishing to come into contact with the knowledge that everybody in this building, they have their ups and downs, their joys and sorrows. Invite you to extend the range of your metta and upekkha, equanimity, spilling out onto the streets wherever you are, or the roads, the village, the town, the city, taking in more and more people, perhaps also animals, wishing them all well, may they be well and happy and free from suffering. And allow that well-wishing, that loving kindness, to take into account all these people, all these beings, experience ups and downs, joys and sorrows, depending on conditions. Can you contemplate that with equanimity in your heart? Then expanding across the land, the seas, taking in people in places of peace, places of conflict, people who are well, people who are ill. Wishing them all well, wherever they may be on this planet Earth. And indeed beyond, into the universe. May they all be well and happy and free from suffering. Reflect on how all these beings experience ups and downs, joys and sorrows, and allow your well-wishing to come into contact with that knowledge. All these joys and sorrows are in constant flow, dependent on conditions. Sorrow followed by joy, joy followed by sorrow. This is how it has always been for everyone, everywhere, throughout time. So transition gently from the practice in your own time, introducing some movement if that works. Lovely to do the Upeksha Bhavana with you. It's not a practice we do that often, but it seems particularly apt for this time of year as we recall the year that's passed and look towards the year ahead. Thank you for joining in. And I look forward to seeing you again this evening. I don't know if Bodhi Leela has anything to add.
Hi, yes, so we've got two slots this evening, which we've been doing a lot of reflecting. I suggest you bring some paper and something to write with, because one of the things we'll be doing is, you know, maybe writing down things that we want to let go of, and as part of the end of this year, moving into the next year, we'll be doing a Buddha Puja, and we'll be doing some chanting and meditation, and yeah, it's really nice way, I think, to see in the new year if you can stay up that late. I find it much more meaningful than partying, and sets off the year to a good start. So if you're able to come to both, do, but otherwise, maybe just see you at 8.
Great, thank you, Bodhi Leela. So there's a bit of a trajectory there. We've, up till now, today, we've been turning towards our experience, accepting, opening our hearts to our experience. And on the basis of that, we'll have an opportunity to let go in this evening's session. Hope to see you there.